From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. Longtime listeners and readers of News Press storyteller Amy Bennett Williams are well aware of her passion for Southwest Florida's wild spaces. In today's essay, Williams takes us along for a couple of family journeys, hiking the miles of muddy trails in Estero Bay Preserve State Park. The protected mangroves and marshes in the preserve provide vital habitat for indigenous wildlife and a buffer from the impacts of creeping development on Estero Bay itself, which was Florida's first aquatic preserve.
Estero Bay Preserve is a Florida state park, but it's one of the quiet ones, not nearly as well known as the Fakahatchee Strand or Cayo Costa. Maybe that's because people logically assume a bay is water and thus not hikeable. But there are plenty of uplands in this preserve. Even the wet parts are quite navigable, provided you don't mind mud. I hope you don't, because mud is essential to this place, the union of earth and water that gives birth to the bay. I had visited the preserve before with my 14-year-old Nash, but we'd gotten in at the entrance off Broadway in Estero. Seeking open water, we'd trekked past thin pinelands, over flats glittering with dried salt, and pocked with bubbly, mounded sand. As we neared them, a rippling wave of clawed crustacea skittered away from us with a tiny clatter, the society of fiddler crabs that excavate those pebble-marked burrows across Estero Bay's fecund flats. Finally, the path became a stream, and the stream led us to a copper-colored creek hemmed with tangled mangroves. If we just followed it, I was certain we'd reach the bay. We waded in. The stream deepened with each of the creek's twists. Tannic water rose past our knees, over our waists, up to our necks. Soon, we were paddling as much as we were slogging. When the mangroves thinned and the creek widened, we thought we'd finally found the bay. But it was just a small cove. We knew we were close. We could hear boats buzzing in the distance. But the sun was sinking, so we turned back. That was months ago. This time, I was determined we'd get there. So this time, we went in on the South Fort Myers side. And this time, we took my husband, Roger. Following Winkler Road to its dead end, we hummed past gates and guardhouses, Avalon Preserve, Colony Trace, Wellington Lakes. Easing the car onto the shoulder to park, we spotted a nearly overgrown sign, shouldered our bags, and headed in. My iPhone became both compass and map. We struck out toward what we hoped was the water, checking the screen as the gap widened between the moving blue dot that was us and the subdivisions, which appeared on screen like strung cowrie beads on spread mud cloth. That we were moving in the right direction became plain as we came on a stand of pale skeletal trees, the result of some serious exotics removal work. Soon, we were bushwhacking through dog-hair-thick dead melaleuca, bleached white trunks spindling against the afternoon sky. Other than the killed trees, there were no human traces, no tossed bottles or crushed cans, so sadly ubiquitous in the region's other wild places. It was rough going, but not impossible, though we were glad when the melaleucas thinned a bit. Gleaming before us, a shallow lake with a trio of ducks paddled the far shore. No bay, though, so we trudged on under an impossibly cerulean sky. The melaleuca carcasses stretched for acres, some crumpled to the ground in piles of splintered 6-foot jackstraws over which we tripped and scrambled. We'd pause, check the phone, and forge on. Bayward, we hoped. Now, I know this may not sound like actual fun, but for me, it was about perfect. Golden light, bird chatter, and the smell. Oh, that smell, the low, leafy, salty, sulfurous aroma of oystery muck. We had to be close. We were. As if some botanical switch had flipped, the melaleuca vanished. Now we faced a silver-gray sweep of sea-level tableland etched with fissures between peeled-up mud rinds. And beyond the plain stretched the mangrove-framed bay. We crunched over the algae scales until the ground softened, overlaid with a crow-colored, sea-scented ganache. Walking became a careful gliding, akin to cross-country skiing, except with osprey circling overhead. Nash could stand it no longer and took off running. He pounded through the muck, each step exploding into custardy black shrapnel. Then he flattened himself midair and dove headfirst into the mud. We declined his kind invitation to join him for more sliding, but we did follow him into the bay, where the clear water washed him clean. We waded out to a lone mangrove and sat waist-deep in the still bay, nosed by flittering swarms of silver minnows. Later, I wandered along the mangrove fringe to watch a blue crab slipping through the tape grass as a little blue heron studied the scene from its prop root perch. I do not think I could have been happier. I said a silent thanks to all my fellow humans who'd done the heavy lifting to secure this preserve 50 years ago, ensuring that my little family and I could share a perfect afternoon there. Indeed, part of what makes the trip such a treat is the incongruity, a nearly Narnian passage from one world to another in a matter of minutes. But far beyond that is the knowledge that this sacred, life-giving ground, well, mud, and the water that surrounds it will always belong to all of us.